Hallelujah.
You may be seated.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if intercessors knew it before the service or not, but I was behind here, came to seek God's heart, and some intercessors began to pray, and began to pray the very heart of the Lord. This message was right in their prayers unto me. And my heart's desire was so longingly to come to the very throne or the altar of God and bring you something from the very heart of God. And this one intercessor kept crying, "Mercy, mercy, mercy," is flooding him. And she began to even say, "Oh, it's as if a burning is going into his heart." And then it was as if a branding iron was going within. And I just believe this afternoon that I'm bringing from the very heart of the Lord, humbly, I know it's not of my own words, but I'm bringing something from Him, a coal right off the altar for you. And it's very vital to what God is doing in this hour. I've entitled the message this afternoon, we're in morning. Not the other kind, but still in the morning. Reach out and touch a leper. And I would like to begin this message by reading a portion of an article from a recent Christian periodical. Now, the name of the magazine and the article and the minister involved are really insignificant. But I would dare say that the content and the message of this true life narrative is and can hopefully be life-changing unto you and I. And I would ask you, as it says in the book of Revelation, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." I was conducting a major crusade on the island of Trinidad, and this little Indian lady walked up to me at the close of the service. She had on a long black dress to her neck, with long sleeves. In the sweltering tropics, you could imagine how uncomfortable that must be. She wore a black scarf and a black veil, traditional for the Hindu women. I noticed she had on gloves, and I couldn't understand why she was dressed so. She greeted me in typical Hindu fashion. She said, "I am not a Christian. I am a Hindu. I really do not believe in your Jesus." I said, "Well, that's all right. He believes in you." She said, "Reverend, you said your Jesus can heal people. Do you think He can heal me?" "Of course He can," I answered. "I will be happy to pray for you." I started to lay hands upon her, and she stepped back, saying, "Let me show you first what you shall pray for." She began to untie her veil, and when it dropped, I almost got sick. She had scales like a fish all over her face, and her neck with pus-filled and bleeding sores. She carefully took off a glove and rolled up her loose-fitting sleeve. The skin on her thin arm looked like a snake skin. It glistened with the wetness of her disease underneath the light in the tent where we stood. The stench coming from her skin was sickening. She explained that when she had given birth to her third child, the contagious skin disease came upon her, and they took her baby from her. She had not touched the baby in over a year's time. Tears welled up in her eyes. The doctors had told her the disease was fatal and she would soon die. Her husband and children had not touched her either. She was living in a little hut in the back of their home, and they had to slide her food under the door. Each day a woman would come and stand about 20 feet away, holding her baby so that she could see him. She asked, "Reverend, do you think you could ask your God if He would heal me?" I asked her to bow her head, remembering she had told me that her disease was contagious and fatal. I reached my pocket and I pulled out my handkerchief. I laid it on the top of her scarf and held my fingers straight out so I wouldn't touch her head. Then I began to pray the typical type of prayer we sometimes pray for healing. Oh God, now in the name of Jesus, I curse this disease and I command it to go from her body. I ask you to let your healing power flow right now. About that time, I heard God say to me very clearly, stop it. I stopped praying. And the little lady looked up and asked, are you done? I answered, no, madam. Please bow your head. I stood there trembling for a moment because I knew God was trying to say something to me. Suddenly, I heard him clearly say these words. I have commanded you to lay hands on the sick. Why won't you obey me? I knew what he was saying to me. I put my handkerchief back in my pocket, and I did the hardest thing that I have ever done. I reached out my hand, and I laid it upon her face. I felt the scales and the blood and the pus. I reached out my other hand, and I laid it on the other side of her face. When I put my hands on her face and held that diseased, suffering face, there wasn't a prayer left in me. I know James 5:14 is scriptural, and we do pray for the sick sometimes. But God revealed to me His healing power can be transmitted from believers into the life of lepers all around us if we will just take the time out and touch them. As I held that lady's face in my hands, I started to weep. I was touched for the first time that night by the feeling of her infirmity. I didn't utter a word of prayer. I just stood there and held on to that dear woman's face. And suddenly I sensed the power, the presence, the resurrection power of Christ literally flowing through my arm, out of my fingertips, and into her body. I was trembling, and she started to tremble also. She said, I've never felt anything like this before. What is it? I told her it was the power of the living God. When the power ceased flowing, I told her, now go and be healed in the name of Jesus. I stood there trembling with the moisture of that disease still on my hands as she walked out into the night. 1 week later, on the final night of that crusade, a beautiful Indian lady walked up to me saying, good evening, Reverend. Do you remember the lady you prayed for a week ago with a skin disease? I asked, yes, I do. Do you know her? How is she? She said, Reverend, take a closer look at me. I am that woman, but your Jesus has healed me. We all love to see instantaneous healings and miracles. And we get disappointed when we don't. Amen. But don't get impatient with God. Reach out and touch people in the name of Jesus and have faith enough to say that to that person, go and be whole. And let the power of God begin working in you. It's when you and I doubt that we hinder God. I exclaim, woman, I can hardly believe this. Anyone whose body was so scarred by disease, and that's our reaction too, isn't it? And disease and infection, and hers as hers was, even if healed, she should have been scarred. But there wasn't a trace of a scar on her entire face or her arms. She held a little baby in her arms. You couldn't have pried her loose with a crowbar. or him loose, excuse me. There were two small children hanging at her skirt. Her husband had his arm around her. And in her left hand, there was a big Bible. I asked her about the Bible. She said, "We are no longer Hindus. We have burned all our statues and pictures." Hallelujah. "We were in church yesterday, and we will be baptized next Sunday. We believe Jesus is real, and we are Christians now." I watched as that little family turned around and walked out into the cool of the evening twilight. And I stood there weeping. The Lord spoke to my heart again. And He said from Scripture, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Will you reach out and touch lepers? They are waiting by the thousands for your love and compassion. If you have the healing power of Jesus within you, you can, my friend, indeed do it. Now, truly, this is the most touching and glorious account of the healing power of our wonderful Jesus. But far more significant than that, I believe, to us this morning, is indeed the very revelation of compassion itself. This article concludes with a question and a statement that I would again ask you to contemplate if it passed you by very quickly in your own life for yourself. Will you reach out and touch lepers? They are waiting by the thousands for your love and for your compassion. Maybe I could state this another way. Another question. What keeps you from reaching out and touching lepers? Jesus did. And is He not a pattern for us to follow? Are we not to follow the Master indeed? We heard our brother just mention the man-child. Was He not that man-child that we're patting ourselves after? This man-child company in the end? It says in the book of Mark, chapter 1, I'll read to you from verses 40 through 42. "And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him and saying unto Him, 'If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him, and saith unto him, 'I will, be thou clean.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." Now there are four significant points in this account in the Gospels. Number one, of course, that there was a needy leper that came to Jesus. And I would state unto you that there are more than one. There are many needy lepers that would come to the man-child in the last days in need of healing. Number two significant point. He said, the leper said unto Jesus, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now, as you and I both know, and we've been hearing all throughout camp meeting, and we will continue to hear, the problem is not whether we can do it or not. The problem is, wilt thou? That's the problem. That's the question to you. We have heard, and Don mentioned even yesterday, all power has been given in heaven and earth unto Jesus. Go ye therefore. It says in Matthew 10:8, that He commands us, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received." Are we not receiving here? Freely give. Mark 16:18, "Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." I'll never forget a few elders retreats ago when the blessed brethren from Wisconsin came back, and for a time they were kind of coming around and praying for the various elders and not touching them. And Don made a comment very lovingly, and he said, "Well, there's no doctrine in the Word of God that says that we should just kind of go around their head close. But all I see in the Word of God is that we're to touch them. And that's very true. We need to lay hands on them. Point number three of this record in the Gospels. Jesus had a reaction. He was moved with compassion, the Bible says. And that reaction caused an action to take place. He put forth in his hand and he touched him. And he said, I will. Be thou clean. The fourth significant point, of course, is that, glory to God, the leper was cleansed. And that is important. Brethren, it is true, or at least you may be thinking it in your mind, that you may never have occasion in your entire lifetime living up in Seattle, Washington, to have as Jesus did or as this minister did in the article, to be confronted with the possibility of actually touching a true life leper, with the pus, the contagiousness, and the disease upon that one. But I dare say unto you that in a very real sense, you and I are surrounded by leprosy of the worst kind. Do you know that this large, beautiful sanctuary and church is located right in the midst of a leper colony? You don't have to go far outside of these walls to be impacted with the telltale signs of leprosy all around. The author of this article mentioned the stench as she removed her scarf. It was sickening unto him. But the stench of leprosy, of sin that is all around us, is, I dare say, sickening. And especially when you've been in here and you've been partaking of the charming, beautiful, wonderful, sweet incense of the Lord. It is as if you can hear the cries of the masses, even when you leave these meetings and you go out into the highways and the byways. You go out and mingle daily with your neighbors and at your job and at the mall and on the freeway. But can you not hear a crying out there, as it were, in leper colonies? That they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Do you know that quite possibly lepers have snuck into this assembly today from these leper colonies around about us? You might even be sitting right next to a leper. But come now. Let us be honest with ourselves. Aren't we all former lepers? Who have escaped the leper colonies of this world and have been cleansed by that wonderful, gracious blood of the Lamb and washed by the water of the Word and been cleansed to the uttermost? Do we not come and gather together at least weekly and as we are in camp meeting daily and with Bible college daily to a building and the other satellite churches also, you gathering together? But do you not come to confirm, as the lepers had to when they were healed, before the high priest, and we come before our high priest of our profession, and before one another and proclaim to confirm the work of healing in our lives? Mustn't we also freely admit that that germ seed of leprosy remains deep down inside of us? And it can have effect upon us once again if we are not faithful to be in daily treatment, as it were, of the Holy Spirit and of the Word. That deadly disease that once filled our body could again become widespread within us. Do not, my friend, forget your own state of leprosy. So again, I ask you the question, what keeps you from reaching out and touching a leper? Now again, I want to ask you to examine yourself and answer me honestly inside. If you had been that minister in that article, would you have actually touched that contagious disease with your own hands? Or would you have found yourself doing as he did originally? And as many do throughout Christendom, going through the motions of proper ministerial etiquette, as it were, speaking faith unto the one to be prayed for, preparing to pray the proper way that you have learned and you have practiced oft, quoting the scriptures, having the needy bow their head in all humility, lifting your eyes to the heavens solemnly, but then do you put a handkerchief between you and the leprosy? Maybe it would even come to your mind a justification, as it were, a scripture, such as 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. How many Christians right here in this room who are seeking for purity and sanctification and righteousness, etc., who are spending much of their time in prayer, these meetings, for example, in the church, prayer meetings, Bible studies, even dancing before the Lord, who are seeking to learn how to minister to people, which is extremely good, but become deceived and find a very real breakdown in the flow of healing because they hold up their righteous hanky between themselves and the very disease of sin and miss the most important ingredient of true ministry. Compassion. What is your reaction, really, to leprosy? Is it repulsion? Or is it compassion? We read a very familiar account of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, and I know Brother Mike Ehrlich made mention of this the other day, and I'm not going to go much into it, but verse 30, and Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and who wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Many of us have found ourselves in that state. And many more are out here, many lepers that have found themselves that way. The demons of hell have come and beat them up, have stripped them of the raiment, have wounded them, and left them for half dead. Do you remember the account that I just read to you? The woman was in such a state because of her leprosy that no one could touch her. And she could not touch anyone, not even her own little baby. That's what the devil does to us in sin. He separates us, you see, and we're unable to touch. There was one religious man, a priest, first of all, then a Levi that came by. Religious men. But they separated themselves from that need with a spiritual hanky, a righteous hanky, so to speak, and went on by. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and he poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him into an inn, and took care of him. And Jesus, of course, asked them who did the better. And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. Now I dare say that in the world, sometimes the worldly or those out in the world can show more compassion than the so-called spiritual. I have seen many instances since I've been in the ministry and going out and just marveled. It's as if that scripture, you know, that talks about the children of this world in this generation are wiser than those in the children of light. I was up recently to a extended care unit and saw these ones just living out their last breath. And you know, this message was really impacting me even back at that time. But I saw some of those nurses and different ones. I could tell with one, she was very hard to the whole situation and just treated them and just it was a job to her. But there was another one that was very tender, loving, was doing everything with great compassion, and I marveled at it. And yet I understood her not to be a Christian. Brethren, the ingredient we have need of in Christ-centered ministry, in the man-child company, is compassion. It says of Christ in Matthew 9:36, that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad, the Greek says, skinned and tossed about. as sheep not having a shepherd. Now, many of you understand and know from Bible college that word translated compassion is splanchnizomai. It means to be moved as to one's inward parts, splanchna. To be moved with compassion, to have bowels yearning with compassion. And it is frequently recorded of Christ toward the multitudes and toward individual sufferers. There's many accounts, if I would have more time here this afternoon, to give you, of course, of Christ, who is totally motivated by compassion and love. But just to mention one, as you recall in Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34, and I will not read it, but there were two blind men that found themselves crying out to this Jesus as He passed by. And their cry was, "Have mercy on us. O Lord, Thou Son of David, have mercy." And they cried and they cried that, but do you know what happened? Many of those round about Jesus rebuked the blind men. "Don't have time for you. You're blind. You're leprous. We've got to go about our spiritual business, don't you know?" But nay, Jesus turned to the one and said, "What do you have need of? That I might receive my sight." And He had compassion, the Bible says, upon them. And He touched them and they were healed. We're going to find out here, and we have already, many of us, that there's cries going out, "Unclean, unclean," or have mercy upon us. And they're going to be crying to you just like they cried to the Master. Because you're going to be walking as that man-child company. So we must be filled with that compassion. And you're going to hear the cries. But at other times, Jesus did not hear a cry. There was a time when a woman was standing there and her dead son was brought out. He was dead. It was a procession of the dead. And the wailers were there and crying out. But as they went by, Jesus was in the midst. And He saw the thing and He looked on the woman. And the Bible says He had compassion on her. And it motivated Him to take action. That compassion is going to motivate you to take action even if you don't have a cry out there or you don't hear it. And He went and He touched that boy. He touched him, and he came to life, raised the dead. He touched again the unclean thing. But the question may be burning in your mind from this message. How do I obtain such compassion? Many may be saying, "I want it, I can sense the need. But I feel so hard at times. I feel so insensitive, void of tenderness. I just don't feel compassion." Well, first of all, my friend, we've been hearing already in the messages, realize that we all have, to one degree or another, been very dulled by the world in the area of compassion. It is something like the fruits of the Spirit and other such things that needs to be cultivated and developed. Because of the dullness of the world, some of us have been raised in families and in living situations that begin to instill into us a certain amount of compassion because we saw it. We were trained. We were cultivated, as it were. There was a development of a certain amount of it, even if we weren't saved. But others of us, even as we prayed for last night and praying for those that never had a father, there are many of us that are so dull that compassion just doesn't come naturally to us. And especially since we've just escaped from it. These leper colonies of life. But something I would say unto you, that compassion does come naturally to Christ. And thus, that's why we are spending this time near unto His heart. We have been exhorted in the Word of God to be in the Word of God, to get revelation of His heart from the Word of God. I'm so thankful there was a prophecy that went over me when I was ordained, and one of the statements was that God would give unto me revelation in the hearts of the people as well as in the Word. But I appreciated so much, and I have seen God been able to do that when I felt so empty and lack and insensitive without compassion. But He has come down by His very mercy and poured things into my life as they were needed. But one other thing I would say, don't hide away in the prayer closet or the church libraries. This is very important. But go out with Christ as a physician, not to those that are whole, but to those that are sick. We're having opportunity. God is doing a marvelous work among us that we're beginning over the last number of years here now to begin to experience the compassion, the love of God towards us. And it's causing us to want to reach out to Him. But you know, to really reach out to Him is to reach out to the lost. I had an experience in a prayer meeting a while back. As the intercessors were praying for me, the Lord brought to mind a scripture about that one that Jesus loved and leaned upon His breast. And at that point in time, He was dealing real wonderfully with me. And He asked me, I do believe, will you be as that one and lean upon my breast and love me? Will you give unto me? Will you give of your heart and time and effort, etc.? And oh, nothing but yes came out. But since that has happened and I have endeavored in my heart to be near unto Him, I have also found that you can dry up just staying in that closet, as it were. Because if you're really coming to His heart, His heart is beating and pounding and being moved with compassion that you have to get up off your knees and you have to go out and you have to lay hands on the sick and you have to bring healing to the masses, because that's where His heart is at. Recognize that Christ has transformed you from lepers yourselves into vessels of healing. Christ in you, we heard the hope of glory. Remember the leper's words to Jesus once more. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's not a question whether you can or not, I stated earlier, but rather, will you or not? Colossians 3:12 says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, inward parts of compassion. We have to be willing to put off this insensitivity. We have to be willing to let God put with on us, as it were, compassion, a garment. Remember the one that was laid as half dead in the parable of the Good Samaritan? His raiment had been stripped from him. The devil stripped it, but our wonderful Lord has put on many garments unto us since we've come unto Him. But put, as it were, this garment of bowels of mercies on. Be opened up to the cries of unclean, unclean. Hear the have mercies upon me. And you will find as you take action, you touch a leper, whether initially feeling that compassion or not. Don't hold back until you have the feeling. We heard that the other night. You can't operate on feeling or you'll never do it. But go in faithfulness to the heart of God, in faithful obedience to the Word, and begin to take action and touch. And you will find that Christ's compassion in you will begin to affect you. And you will begin to develop that compassion that He wants to give unto you. You will find that compassion is developed by taking action, as I've spoken. But then, marvelously as it is, compassion will soon motivate more action. More acts of compassion until you're walking in the very footprints of the Lord Jesus. And when you first have feelings of repulsion towards leprosy, think of situations even in this Seattle area, going downtown someplace. Oh, many a day have we walked just in daily life and seen lepers, really horrible states. But I dare say unto you, when you have those feelings of repulsion, and you kind of, oh, be separate from them. Come out from among them. Catch yourself. And before going to completely on by, allow God to instill His compassionate heart in you for them. And there may be times when you can't reach out and touch them at that moment, but you need to allow God to develop that compassion within. And then be faithful. Be faithful as He asks you to reach out and do the very touching work. And then to touch them. You need to ask God today for a revelation of compassion. And then in the tomorrows to come, to seek to walk in an unfolding revelation of God's compassion to you, because that's what it is, and that's the trek we're on. To understand and know more about this marvelous Christ that we serve, and to be walking in His footprints, to be walking like Him, and to doing the works He has done, and greater works shall ye do. And my final word unto you would come from the Scripture in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And though this Scripture talks to the brethren and taking care of one another, and that's what I'm seeing, I want to say through this message that I have been so marvelously affected by the brethren in compassion and love. Over the last few years, it's just been marvelous. And every time you come into camp meeting, oh, so many people just reaching out and loving you and showing compassion. And I've seen it so many times in the ministry and relationship between Seattle and us through phone calls about situations. I've seen such compassion through those in the leadership right here towards situations. It's marvelous. And God's doing a profound and wonderful work. But do not let it stop here. Reach out and touch a leper.